Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Grief is a normal part of life. You will not escape it. And can I say, it is not sinful to grieve. How could we not grieve over the passing of a loved one? It's unimaginable.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Few things compare to losing a loved one. But today on The Verdict, we're remembering that followers of Jesus do not grieve as others do. We have a living hope, an eternal hope, grounded in the promises of God. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe with our Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16.
Today we continue with the conclusion of a special message, one of the most difficult messages I've ever preached. On April 25, 2021, our only child, Christopher, died from COVID-19 at the age of 37. Yet in our indescribable grief at the passing of our son, my wife and I have been sustained by the Lord's constant presence and His glorious promises. The Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians about their brothers and sisters in Christ who have died. He says, they have fallen asleep. A beautiful picture of death for the Christian. He writes that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. It's quite likely you also have lost a loved one. So today, let's think of this living hope that we must remember in our grief.
We're people of hope. Jesus Christ is coming back. Peter in 1 Peter 1 describes this hope as a living hope. Now you must understand what a biblical hope is. It's not a false hope. It's not wishful thinking. That's not the way the word is used in Scripture. This living hope, what is it? It is a sure expectation of what will certainly occur in the future. How can you say that? Because the promises of God are always fulfilled. You make a promise, you can be well-meaning, but it may not be fulfilled. Circumstances out of your control may occur. That never happens. With God, everything's under His control. When God makes a promise, it is absolutely certain. This hope, this living hope that we have, is not diminished by difficult circumstances. Now, some of you know I like British soccer, Manchester United in particular. But when the schedule is fixed, they don't consult with me as to the time of the games. So rarely can I watch the game live. So what do? We record. And so supposing I record the game and I go home. Sometimes, even some of you here, please do not do this, want to tell me the score. I don't want to hear it, right? But sometimes when I'm watching the game, which has been pre-recorded, I know the score. And I'm watching the game, and I may put it on. And my team may be playing terrible. They may be behind. They may be 3-0 down. But I know this. The victory is 100% assured. Because the game has been recorded. It will happen. However bad it seems at the time, victory is absolutely assured. And however bad it seems at the time, and however difficult life for you is at the moment, God has promised. This is our sure and certain hope. You see, what's the hope? Jesus says in John 14, I will come again. Notice verse 16, Paul says, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven. The Lord Himself, not an angel, He's coming Himself for us. He is coming back personally. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven. And then there's three supernatural sounds. He says, with a cry of command. John 5, Jesus says, don't marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and come out. Think of this cry of command. All those who have died in Christ will hear the shout of command and will be raised from the dead. A cry of command. Secondly, verse 16, the voice of an archangel. When the poor man died, in the story Jesus told at the end of Luke chapter 16, Jesus said he was carried by the angels to the side of Abraham. A believer dies, and they're carried by the angels to Abraham's side, a picture of paradise. And perhaps here at the rapture, Michael, the great archangel, will organize all of the angels to escort believers in Jesus Christ through the territory of the prince of the power of the air to meet Christ in the air. There's a third sign. What is it? A cry of command, the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. If the cry of command is for believers who have died, and the voice of the archangel is for angels, this trumpet is the signal for all believers in Jesus Christ who are alive when he comes. Now, I love the trumpet. Isn't it a beautiful instrument? Can you imagine hearing the trumpet of God? The trumpet of God, which all believers in Jesus Christ will hear. Why the trumpet? The announcement that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. As he said, I will come again. And notice what happens. The dead in Christ will rise first. I'm often asked, what happens when a believer in Jesus dies? Well, their body is buried in the ground. They have fallen asleep in Jesus, but their soul, spirit goes immediately to be with Christ. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise today. So death for the believer is away from the body, absent from the body, and at home with the Lord. But when this happens, Christ's followers who are presently with the Lord, their soul, spirit, their bodies, yes, their bodies, await this great day of resurrection. And then, verse 17, then we who are alive, wouldn't it be wonderful to be part of that group, who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. That is, there is a generation that will not die. We will go directly into the Lord's presence without dying. I'm sure the disappearance of millions of followers of Christ throughout the world will be explained away. There's all this talk nowadays about UFOs. Perhaps people say, well, they disappeared in UFOs or the aliens got them. I don't know. But what I do know is this, not one authentic follower of Jesus Christ will be left behind. We who are alive will be caught up. Think of this. We will be united with all of our loved ones. Aren't you looking forward to that? I look forward to seeing again my parents, my brothers, my grandparents, friends, certainly our son Christopher. What a reunion that will be. Can you imagine the joy? People say, well, we know one another. Of course we'll know one another. We'll be much smarter then than we are now. And Paul is writing this in 1 Thessalonians 4 to encourage people. Would be much of encouragement if you're kind of an amorphous spirit up there. No, our bodies are resurrected. Our individuality and our individual identity is preserved for all of eternity. We're caught up. And this is why these verses are such an encouragement to us. We'll rejoice that never, ever, ever again will we part. Never again will we be separated. This is our living hope. Profound grief, living hope. Third, an eternal future. You say, do you believe this, John? I believe this with all my heart. Did you get the last verse there? Or verse 17? We'll meet the Lord in the air. And then says Paul, so we will always be with the Lord. Or so we will forever be with the Lord. Forever with the Lord. Our Savior who loves us with an everlasting love. Our Savior who died on the cross for our sins. Our Savior who rose again for our justification. Our Savior who is our great high priest who presently is interceding for us right now at the throne room of God. This one is coming back for us. And for all of eternity, we will always be with the Lord. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, There'll be no less days to sing his praise than when we'd first begun. We will be in a new heaven and a new earth. Turn to Revelation 21 and a few comments about heaven. I have four of them. First, heaven is the very presence of God. One of the things that happens when a loved one dies is that we think much more about heaven, don't we? We think, what like is it for them? What actually is going on in heaven? Well, heaven is the very presence of God. Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I always wonder about that because I love the sea. But it does say that. Verse 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Many questions about heaven, but this we do know, that heaven is the very presence of God. And in the new heavens and the new earth, God will dwell forever with his people. Remember Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, where I am, there you may be also. He tells them, I'm going to come again, so that where I am, heaven, there you may be also. So heaven is wonderful, is glorious. Number one, because God is there. The very presence of God. Secondly, heaven is the removal of all evil. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Life as we know it on earth, with its heartaches, with its sorrows, with its tragedies, with its grief, with its bereavements, with its viruses, with its funerals, with its disappointments, will be eternally gone. Fear, worry, anxiety, death are forever gone. Heaven is the removal of all evil. Everlasting joy, Isaiah says, will be upon their hearts. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There'll be neither grief nor pain nor cry to cast a shadow over the eternal day. Heaven is the removal of all evil. Third, heaven reveals the glory and the beauty of God. Revelation 21, verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Verse 23, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Think of the beauty of heaven. You know, this world, this fallen world, is breathtakingly beautiful, isn't it? You travel. Every country's got its own beauty. And whether you think of the beauty of a small flower, or looking at the expanse of the ocean, or the stars, or the mountains, or the beauty of a newborn baby, this world is beautiful, but it's fallen. It's not perfect. Can you imagine what it was prior to the fall? And can you imagine the beauty of the new heavens and the new earth? Verse 16, the city, this is the new Jerusalem, lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia, its length and width and height are equal. So the new Jerusalem, which is part of the new heavens and the new earth, is a cube. And 12,000 stadia amount to approximately 1,400 miles. Can you imagine a cube, 1,400 miles? 14 by 14 by 14. If you go up high to go into space, as a few billionaires have done, that's only 62 miles. you imagine going up high 1,400 miles? 1,400 in width, 1,400 in length. Amazing. The beauty is described here in Revelation 21. And you say, well, is this just a description? What will it be really like? Well, the description is unbelievably beautiful. And we, who are followers of Christ, through his grace, we will be there. There's going to be the reign of 1,000 years in the millennium when we will reign with Christ. In my own little way, I think during the millennium, I hope God, I know he's gracious, I want him to give me just a little part of a Scottish island to reign over. And I picture walking with Christopher. He loves Scotland. I don't know why, but he loves Scotland. Perfect temperature, low 70s. God hasn't asked me the temperature, but I think it'll be low 70s. Sun in the morning, light drizzle in the afternoon, right? Perfect walking. And just think of the communion that we will have. Just think of the love that you have for your husband, your wife, your son, your fiance, your friends. But think of that love perfect. Think of perfect love. Think of perfect joy. Think of perfect peace in this unimaginably beautiful new heaven and new earth. And through the grace of God, this is our eternal future. Here's the fourth one about heaven I'll mention before I conclude. In heaven, we will see his face. Chapter 22, verse 3. No longer will there be anything cursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. There'll be no need of light or of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. In heaven, we will see God and know God. Heaven is where the glory of God shines in blazing and brilliant fullness. Think of the glory of God. We sing about the glory of God. As people looked at our Savior, they saw something of his glory in his incarnation. But think of being in the presence of God and seeing the glory of God. But even in heaven, we will not be able to comprehend the infinite glory and beauty and majesty of this great God who loved us. But, says John, we will see his face. We will see his face. Peter says, whom having not seen, we love, in 1 Peter 1. I've never seen the face of God, but I'm going to see his face. Think of this. What grace is this? That God not only in his grace saves us, God not only in his grace forgives all of our sins. That's incredible. Totally undeserving based on the death, burial, and resurrection of our glorious Savior. God not only forgives our sins, God is going to take us into his own house, into the Father's house, into his very presence, so that we will see his face. What grace is this? John says that when he comes, we'll be like him, for we will see him as he is. Once we are converted to Jesus Christ and saved by his grace, God, through his own Holy Spirit, begins to work on us, doesn't he? And step by step, we're becoming more and more like Jesus. I trust that's true. That's called our sanctification. But we are far from perfect. But one day, we will see him and we'll be like him. We'll be glorified and we will see the face of God. An eternal future. History is rapidly moving to the greatest of all space flights. And this space flight is not reserved for a few billionaires who don't know what to do with their money. No. This is for every believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. He's coming quickly. He's coming like a thief in the night. I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? Thomas Watson says, eternity to the godly is a day that has no sunset. Eternity to the wicked is a night that has no sunrise. For all of eternity will either be in that eternal day or in that eternal night. In the eternal day, there is no sunset. In the eternal night, in hell itself, there is no sunrise. I have to ask you, are you ready to meet God? Are you? Do you know Christ? You say, well, I've gone to church. It's wonderful to go to church. You say, well, God's answered my prayers in the past. That's great. God is very gracious. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus Christ personally? Has there come a time when you've repented of your sin and come to Christ and received him as your Savior? A profound grief, a living hope, an eternal future. And so we are encouraged. And so we stand strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And saying as the Bible ends, even so come, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for your grace. There's so much that we don't understand about our own lives, about you, about our future. But we thank you for what you've revealed in your precious word. And we thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, comfort the sorrowing. May they know the reality of this living hope. May they look forward to this eternal future. And we anticipate that day when we will be in that great city, that beautiful city. Meantime, Father, you're with us. You strengthen us. You help us. Bless us. In Christ's name, amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled Grief and Hope. Be sure to keep listening because John will be back with his closing remarks in just a moment. And if you've ever had questions about your faith, like whether or not you can lose your salvation, or how you can be certain about what you believe, you'll want a copy of John's encouraging booklet titled Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. Learn from John's personal testimony and his insightful study of Scripture as he discusses the biblical assurances of salvation and the real-world implication of God's grace. Request your free copy of this special resource today by visiting our website at theverdict.org. While you're there, we also encourage you to take the opportunity to help us reach new listeners with the encouraging truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ by supporting our radio ministry with a donation. We're so grateful for fellow believers like you who help us share God's word across the globe with their financial gifts. Your support will help us continue bringing these biblical messages to those who desperately need to hear of God's redemptive love. So please give today and help us reach more listeners by going online to theverdict.org. And by the way, we'd be thrilled to have you join us for our Easter worship services this weekend at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. To find directions and details or worship with us via live stream online, just go to theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? As part of living in our fallen world, each one of us has or will likely encounter the pain of grief. But followers of Jesus do not grieve as those who have no hope. If your trust is in our Lord Jesus Christ, remember that you have a living hope guaranteed by our Almighty God through the perfect work of His Son. I pray you have the comfort and assurance of this glorious future. We will see our loved ones again and be together with the Lord, never again to part.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies.
Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.